This is a revelation song. Come and seek it out. This is a revelation. This is a revelation song. Come in.
Come on, you have a song? Come on. No, you.
Revelation song, come and seek it all.
See, we're all good Baptists. We're getting to the back row Baptists. I mean to tell you, what can I say? Back row Baptists. It's not coming on that screen, so that's what I'm talking about. Now you got my recording going.
Yes.
Good. I'll move over here to the microphone. Well, let me thank you first of all for being very brave and coming all the way over into this dark corner over here. We really have a wonderful challenge, and that is we're running out of space for Midnight Madness, and the next thing that we can do. The only other thing, have these been passed out at all? Why don't you pass them out and we'll see if we can get this going. The only other thing we can do is go up into the tower, and we've done that before, but you talk about breaking this night up. Boy, when people have got to get over in ride-ups to the five or six floors. It shows my inputs, right? I don't know if something went to sleep on it or what, but Otis will help me here.
I'll figure it out.
All right, he'll get that going.
If not, I'll go get somebody to keep
and we'll make sure we're in good shape. And I'm going to talk into this not so much because I think my voice needs it in here, but we do record all our sessions, which, by the way, how many of you, first time in Midnight Madness? Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. We have archived all 7 previous years, and this year now, we'll add another year to it, but all of the audio from our previous years is on our website. And so if you're growing in your job and you want to learn more about it, you can find that and get to rolling on that. All right, let me find this and share with you. I have discovered, and my staff asked me to, because I'm all the time talking and sharing about this in my class with my staff and with our leaders, But I have discovered that the one of the greatest problems, single greatest problems in churches doing Bible study, whether you call it, what do you say, Bible fellowship is what Preston Wood calls it. We call it life Bible study. Anybody remember what we called it before life Bible study? Well, we did call it Sunday school, but we had Sunday Bible study in there for a while. When I first joined the, Well, when I first joined the staff, they asked me to what could we do? What could we call this and be a little different? They've got me some water in here, and that's neat. Now I know how all my guests feel, you know.
That's awesome.
To get that. But they ask us to call it Sunday Bible study. So whatever you call it, whatever name, some churches give it. We're in an age where everything has different names. As we talked about in the big room just now, this is a phenomenal organization. I've been doing this 46 years, and I know it looks like every one of them, right? But it has been a wonderful lifelong ministry to touch the lives of people through Bible study. I mean, it doesn't take you very long. I may do. I hope I'll do some good in here. I knew very early in my calling that my calling wasn't to be on that big stage in there and talk fluidly and sometimes erratically. But my calling was to lead people, to guide people and direct people. But the single greatest problem today in our Bible studies and our churches, and I think if we just get real honest right now about the needs of our society, our churches in America are not doing the job that we need to be doing. How can I say that? If they were, I don't think our country would be where we're seeing we are spiritually. And so I think that God has his hand on this ministry. We see it here, and I'm so grateful for you being here. But I want to start with a big question mark that would say, why? Why do we do this? Now, I ask a couple of why questions in there. Why were we having that meeting? Why was it important to ask you to give up this many hours? But folks, all of you in different roles, whatever God has given you to do as a director, as a teacher, as a class outreach leader, or someone else, whatever God's given you to do, it's very important that you get really straight and worked out in your heart and in your life. Why? Why are we doing this? What separates us from just every other good organization that's out there? What makes the church different? And indeed, within Bible study, what makes Bible study different? How on earth, and this is your first fill in there, how on earth can we expect an organization to succeed if many of its leaders and most of its members do not understand or accept what the purpose of the organization is? So with that in mind, that's really the challenge we've got. I've got, I've got as Minister of Education, they're my leaders, my teachers, my directors, preschool through adults I give direction to. I zero in my work with adults, but I give direction to all those other age groups as well and have for all these years. And what is critical is, how are we going to be effective in that ministry? So I want you to do something. That number two there, there's a little space. I want you to write down why. What is the purpose? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish through Bible study? I'm going to give you a second. Maybe we'll have a miracle touch here. All right, well, just take a minute and do that. I'm going to drag this board over here where I can write. All right, I'm going to ask you, you've been thinking a few moments there, and just because we're a little off and I want to get us back on track if we can. Let's tell me, why are we doing Bible study? The church devotes a tremendous, every church that has a Sunday school ministry devotes a tremendous amount. When you think of the staff, get this on the road here. The thing is that when you one of the things that I've sort of found to illustrate this is that when you have a good tool, and you've got number two, when you use a good tool for a purpose it's not designed for, you get less than optimal results. Everybody in here is familiar with a hammer, right? Now, let me ask this. I'm going to see here with this little series of questions just how honest you are. How many of you have ever used a hammer to try to put a screw into something? Oh, yeah, quickly there, Alan. I saw that. I saw that. All the several guys. And do what now? Will it work?
Not very well.
It will do the job. Oh, yeah. But what happens?
You pound hard.
Well, you pound hard.
Break it. Bend the head.
You can bend the head of the screw.
Break it.
You can break it off. And usually if you do get it in, most materials you drive it in, it strips it out.
Okay.
And what happens? It falls. It falls back out. I found this out in a rough way. I was in seminary, and my wife asked me to hang curtains. Now, we had only been married a little while when we went. So, now I'm going to ask you the other thing. How many of you ever used a screwdriver? All right. You know where I'm going? How many of you have ever used a screwdriver to drive a nail? Come on. All right, I'll see that hand. Well, I have. What happens when you do that? Can you do it? Yeah.
Not easy.
You can usually hit your thumb at least once or a finger. You glance off of it, and you can. I was doing it one time with a pitcher that I was trying to hang, and glanced off and broke the glass on the pitcher. If you have a good tool and you don't use it for the right purpose, you're going to get less than optimal results. Now, Jesus, and this what we want to look at is, what is the purpose of Bible study? This is what I'm utterly convinced, that our churches have great Bible study. Many churches today have groups, ministries. We'll lump those in because hopefully if they're doing it in a home, they're still trying to accomplish most of what we're trying to do in life Bible study. But if we have that and we're not using it for the right purpose, what happens? We get less reaching people, and they got groups, but we're not seeing the community change. We're not seeing lives change. We're not seeing people growing in the Lord. So we're going to talk about that. What is the purpose? Well, I think in our work, being that we're a biblical work that is commissioned by the Lord, we ought to start with Him. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said to Zacchaeus in that wonderful little story where He came along, and Zacchaeus, you remember, the tax collector, got up in the tree. He's looking down, trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. Have we got it there? How about getting it over to where I'm? Get it to the first slide that has Jesus' picture there, and then we'll go. See the hammer and screwdriver. See what great art you missed. And so Jesus is coming along, and he looks up. He stops and looks up. Thank you very much. And he says to Zacchaeus, this right here. Zacchaeus, come then, has come to seek and save that which is lost. It is a profound, profound verse of Scripture. Because in that one short sentence, Jesus really gives us the essence. Everything else we see Jesus doing in the Bible pointed back to that right there. Miracles, whether he was feeding people on the seashore, whether he was preaching, whether he was discipling and leading others, all of that was leading Jesus to fulfill his mission. Now, if I can just get that where we can run it, we're in tall cotton. All right. Thank you. You are double earning your worth here tonight. I'm proud to tell you. Thank you, Otis. You too. Thank you. Appreciate it. So here's the thing. Profound passage. In my life and in my ministry, I have just reflected back many, many, many times. So as you have on your questions there, you look at it. Question 4, in Luke 19:10, what did Jesus say his purpose was?
Seek and save.
To seek and save. And who? Who was it? The lost. Now here's my real big question, even on that one little verse. If that was Jesus' purpose, and we are His church, have we got a better mission? Have we come up with something more user-friendly in the 21st century? Have we come up with something more glitzy and glamorous? Or is it just really does it just really come back to that simple statement? And I love the fact that He was seeking them. He was out to find them. He wasn't putting Himself on a corner and saying, if they happen to come by and see Me, we will connect with them. He was seeking them. And now we can look at some others, another passage of Scripture that we're all familiar with here, especially in Acts 1:8, when He said, you'll receive the Spirit, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And notice He says, you shall be My witnesses. He didn't say, you can be if you want to. You can be if you don't have something else to do. But He said, you shall be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, again, another passage at Acts 1:8 is our passage, so you ought to know that very, very well. That is what Jesus gave directive to the early church after He was resurrected. And then, of course, the foundational passage of Scripture. The foundational Scripture that we today at Houston's First and most every evangelical church, that is, evangelical churches that preach and teach Jesus Christ and Him alone for our salvation, rely upon Matthew 28:18-20 as the, what do we call it? The Great Commission. Now, some of these other Scriptures He was teaching along and obviously layering over and teaching the truth. But in this, let me put this in perspective for you. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has risen. Jesus has walked on the earth for some 40 days. He's about to return to heaven. He's about to ascend. And He calls the disciples together. And He says, meet Me on the mountain. And then He says to them a very powerful statement, often left out of the Great Commission. Verse 18 says, all authority is given unto Me in heaven and on earth. That's pretty thorough. That covers everything. And Jesus said, all authority. Do we have to worry about what's going on in our world today in the sense of like a worry of, oh, it's just out of control? No, it's not out of God's control. Now, God's at work. And God is watching what's happening and looking to His people, and God is in control. But right now, He has let, as the Scriptures say, He's let a lot of people in this world go to the desires of their heart. But our commission says, all authority is given unto Me in heaven and earth. So get with your Bible study buddies and sit down and study till I come back. Is that what that verse says? No. Go. Go. And then what are we to do when we're to go? We're to go and make disciples. What are we doing? What's He talking about when we make a disciple? Somebody. Here's a person who's not a born-again believer. Over here, they're a disciple. What has happened? He said, go make disciples. What's happened? Do what?
To tell others about Him.
To tell others about Him, which we call evangelism, which is witnessing, which is telling people about Jesus Christ and His saving grace. He said to every one of us in this room, go make disciples. And then when we make them, what are we to do? We're to baptize them. We're to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we are to. And that represents, by the way, bringing them into the body of Christ. Pretty important statement, because how many people, and especially in this age, will say, well, I don't need to be in church to be a Christian. Well, if you want to follow God's directive, you need to be in church. It is not just a choice you make lightly. We as believers, though, he's instructing those disciples to go make disciples, baptize them, and then once we baptize them, and notice this, don't miss it, teaching them all things I've commanded you. Is that what it says? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, let me submit to you that one of the other great challenges of the church today is that we teach people the Word of God. We are getting weaker and weaker at teaching people to observe the Word of God. In the older translation, some of them said to obey. I like that a little better. Teach them to obey my Word. We can have head knowledge, but is it heart knowledge? So there needs to be a difference. Over here, they're not a disciple. Over here, they're a disciple, which a disciple is simply a follower of Jesus Christ, a pupil, a student of the Word, of the Master. Something has happened. We said it's witnessing, it's evangelism. But once we get them saved, that's not the end of it. It is to teach them to observe. Hello, Sunday school. Organize them. Over in Deuteronomy, we have a passage of Scripture that says, even way back there where God was given instructions through Moses to gather the people together to teach them the Word. And then he said, in the most wonderful promise, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now let me tell you how most of us like to read that. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, that's a promise that we can feel warm and fuzzy about. We want his presence in our life. The problem is there's a process in the middle. And the process and the directive and the challenge for his church is to go. Make disciples. Baptize them. Bring them into the church. Then teach them to obey all things. All things. That pretty well covers all things, doesn't it? All things I have commanded you. So you can't just pick and choose what you want to obey. Now, there's another thing that I love to bring out. I'll try to just mention it and not draw this out. But one thing I want you to capture a picture of this passage of Scripture is that it is final words. Jesus is on the mountaintop. He's about to ascend. In just a few moments, he was gone. And he will appear again someday. But it was final words. All those 3 years investing in the lives of the disciples, he had gathered them together. He had lived with them. He had suffered with them. He had died for them. And now he had gotten them together and in essence is saying, I'm leaving, but here's your charge. Final words. And here's what I want you to remember about final words. Final words cut just a little bit deeper. Have any of you had the opportunity? Most of us, everybody in here has received some final words. I remember when I left for seminary, the first time I'd ever gone away from, I had forgotten Brother Jeff was from Tennessee. I'm from Tennessee. I'm from Memphis. All of those places he was talking about, I know. And know those schools because he mentioned they sent a lot of players down to Memphis because we Memphis was a big, big basketball city. And so, you know, my little blue Volkswagen's going out the driveway, and my mother's walking along, telling me, don't forget this. Oh, yeah, and don't forget this. Here's what final words are saying. If you forget everything else I've told you, don't forget this. I mean, Memphis is here, the Mississippi River in West Memphis. In West Memphis, every truck that was in front of me pulled off at the scale. In my mind, I was in a truck, man. I pulled off in there. Only thing is, we sat and we sat and we didn't move. And finally, this big rig in front of And by the way, this is, you've heard Pastor Greg say this, this is our mission statement for the church. It is for every church. Now, why would it be our mission statement? Did the Bible study ministry just reach over there and say, wow, we want to grab that. That sounds cool. That's good. If it's the church's mission, it's good enough for us. No. What did I say in there? Did you hear me say it's the only organization that every member of the church is a part of? Because the Life Bible Study Ministry is the church, organized to do the work of the church. It is not a glitzy, glamorous thing often to be in Bible study ministry. We don't often have people up on the stage on Sunday singing and wowing and wooing, and I'm not knocking that. Praise God, we need that. Hallelujah. Wished I had that talent, but I didn't. But that is not what Bible study is. It's really sort of in the trench type ministry. But it is that this is our mission. This is what Jesus said, and it was his final word. So let's look then at a purpose statement. Think about our answers over here. We'll come back to them. I'm just going to run through that. I messed up. I forgot I had more slides than I was talking through. Oh, by the way, this is really, really cool. How about that right there? Only two things on earth, the Bible says, is going to last for all eternity. What are they? Everything else on this planet is going to go up in smoke one day. The Word of God, he said, shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And the souls of men, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that passage. Now, if you want to give your life, if you want to give your life to something that is going to be eternal, how about studying the Word of God so that you can win the souls of men? Staying in the Word of God so that you can share it with others in how to live and work and raise their families. Again, as I say, if you look at America, this is why I say, if you look at the condition of this nation, our churches is where we need to look and say, oh, Lord, it is us standing in the need. What are we doing with the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that still go to church? We ought to be making a difference, and we would if we were aggressively involved in teaching the Word of God. Now, I don't know if you have it on your plans, but Brother Rick Ray is teaching right up here in the university room. Rick has been here many times. You may remember him as a keynote speaker. He's done luncheons. He's been at Midnight Madness. But he has a passion for reaching people. And he's going to be teaching some good ideas on how to reach the people. So here's our purpose statement now. And I mentioned this already. Life Bible Study is the church organized. And what are we organized for? Well, we're organized and dedicated to gathering the unchurched. Jesus said to seek. We're to gather and bring the unchurched. How many times in our classes do we fail to really incite and motivate and teach and inspire and do by example, lead make the example by bringing people ourselves through our Bible study? We're to gather the unchurched. And all of those who haven't yet discovered Christ as their Savior. And then, while growing believers. Now, you can do all that in the same room? Yes, Pastor Greg does it every Sunday. We do it in every class. We're teaching, and a good teacher, just like Pastor Greg, every Sunday, he is preaching and teaching to people who have never been in church. Almost every Sunday in a church this size, we have people who have never been in a Baptist church or a Christian church. And at the same time, we have people sitting in that room that have been believers for 80 plus years. How can he do that and feed their souls? Well, it's a Holy Spirit thing, but he, as a teacher and perhaps if you're a teacher, you have to know your audience and go up and down. This is why, if I can step over and get into one practical, pragmatic reason we organize our classes the way we do, when I get classes that have 100 people and on up beyond 100, we no longer have a small group, we have congregation. And in a congregation, we can't know each and every person sitting in there. Now, Greg is wise enough, and under the leadership of the Lord, as any good preacher, he's going up and down all the time with how he's teaching, dropping things for those that are saints of God for many years, and dropping things that on such a level that even a non-believer could understand. And a good teacher has to do the same thing. They're taking the word of God, and they need to know their class members. And if a visitor comes in that day, you be sensitive to where you're going. And this is one reason that we encourage people not to just take Bible study and go as deep as we possibly can. Because when we do that, and a new person comes in, or someone who's come back after a long absence, or a person that's lost, we miss them. It just, that's right over their head. Let me ask you something. How many of you like to go sit in a session where you know nothing about what's being said? Oh. You don't want to be put in that circumstance. And then we do reflect the last part of that. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We reflect it by saying, reflecting his love through giving to others. Ministry. Now then, four key thoughts that we'll take away. I know that's a big old long sentence, so let's drill it down. First of all, if you want to know why we do Life Bible Study and what our purpose is, remember first and foremost that Life Bible Study is the church organized. And it's organized for the purpose of gathering the people together and making disciples. It is also organized to grow the people that are here in Life Bible Study. And finally, it is, of course, gathered so that we can give Christ to others in ministry. We do all of that very well. What's a word that we've even talked about in the service over there? We've talked about it in here already. It's up here. We referenced it a minute ago in one of these points. What's a word you don't see in the Great Commission, or what's a word that you don't find that we use all the time? I said a while ago, we're a relevant biblical community. You don't find community. Jesus didn't die on a cross so that we could party hardy. Jesus died on a cross so that we could reach people and teach people and disciple people. So where does community, where does fellowship, this framework that I think Bob gave us, that framework support, where does that fit in? Well, here's how it fits in. When God's people come together to do God's work, you know what his blessing to us is? Great community. It's a blessing. It's the cherry on top. But it is not our purpose. And I'm here to tell you, I cannot tell you how many groups. Now, I'm not being fair to Bob, because his framework of support went way beyond that. I'm the one that tied that to community, because we do need that framework. We do need that community. Let me hasten to say, you will not have a growing class if you do not have good community. You will not have a growing, effective church if you do not have good community. But all I'm saying is, we're not to sit and focus and plan on how to have that. Although, admittedly, in the edges here, that somebody in your group may have that gifting. We always call them our little social directors in our groups. That's their gifting from God to help us do things together. But I'm just saying, you as a teacher and a leader and a director and an outreach leader and a care group leader, your idea and your purpose is to fulfill that great commission and bring people in. And that is the framework that every LBS leader, every age group ought to do. I'm so sorry that I'm having to go through this so fast and not giving you much chance to talk. In fact, I'm going to show you a little map that is real quick. I'll run through this pretty quick, so stay with me, and You've got a little drawing. No, you don't have a little drawing. We'll see if we can get that to you. If you'll email me and say, I want that drawing. Wendy, you're on team with me. Help me to remember that. If we look at this and said, this is the work of the church, here's that guy I mentioned a while ago who's lost, who doesn't know Jesus Christ. Over here, he's been discipled and he's in ministry. What is our job? Well, we call this ministry and process. You'll see a little MAP blanking there. We're to make disciples. Once we make disciples, we're to what? Mature believers. They become believers once. And then we're to multiply ministries. Whoa. You like to multiply them. So, in many pieces. In order to do that, thank you so much, we have a corporate open worship service. No, we're good. I want that. You have an open corporate worship service. And that's what we have. Open meaning what? Anybody can come in at any time, any day, and whether they've ever been in church, they ought to fit in and understand. Along with that, you have to have some kind of open group Bible study, which we have been discussing. We call LBS. And notice the dotted lines, again, meaning anybody can go and come in that ministry. But over here in the middle, we have something called closed groups. Closed groups have a big old dark line around them. Why is that? Well, that is our discipleship groups. Everybody's not going to fit into those. They may not even be spiritually ready for those. Closed groups have a purpose to teach and equip and take people deeper. In our church structure, for what it's worth, Brother Doug Bischoff, my partner in the Grow Team ministry, he gives supervision to all the next gen and all of their activities and all the ministries they do to age groups. And then he gives direction to what we call milestones. Milestones is our closed group ministry. Now, when I say closed group, you say, well, Pastor Ben, we just had a session last Wednesday night where everybody was invited to go join one. That's true. But as soon as it gets started, it's going to be a closed group. They're not looking. They're not ministering to try to reach out and pull more people in. They'll take the 2 that's in there. They'll take the 10 that's in there. They'll circle their wagon, and they'll teach the lesson for 6 weeks or 12 or whatever framework. Whereas an open group is ongoing. People are going and coming and moving in, and they want, we have to, this whole process here of maturing believers, we move them from the open groups here. These, both worship and Bible study, are open to designed to reach people so that people can come in. Over here, now, do we have people that join the church through a closed group sometimes? It's rare. It's not our purpose. We celebrate it, of course. But it's not our purpose. Finally, back over here, we have ministry teams. Now we're multiplying ministry. We're sending mission teams. We're organizing men serve. On Saturdays, we're doing work together. And notice what happened. Those dotted lines showed back up. Why? Because you don't necessarily have to be a believer or a member or have any prerequisite to be a part of a mission team or to be on an athletic team or to come up here in a fitness center. All of those are ministry teams, and to be in the music ministry. You can be in there and you come in and out again. But notice now all these little lines that are drawn in there that are connecting them. Look at those and see those sort of like little ribbons or little highways. People ought to be moving through all of those. So if one person came through a ministry team, maybe he went with Men Serve, and some of the men put their arm around him and said, why don't you come to our Bible study? Or would you meet us in worship? You see that, you get it? And maybe as he grows in the Lord, he decides to move over here into a closed group. Now, that little map gives you the simplest, quickest picture to understand how we're organized, what we're doing. I shared this in there. Sunday school is the organizational backbone of the church. Why? Because if the Bible study ministry is doing its job effectively, then every other ministry is going to be stronger and more effective. This is my ministry, my whole thing. I got to see when I need to break up here. I know your next class, I think, is at 9, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're
first
at 9. This one ends at 9.
Oh, good.
And the next one starts at 9:15.
Oh, good. I can go to 9. I thought that's what I was looking for. I thought I had to break up. Thank you. Oh, you're so good. All right. Thank you. So, see, I told them in the meetings they'd forget, and I did. Now then, this is another key part I want to get to you. So let me just stop at this point. We don't have long, but are there any questions? How are you with me up to now? Do you see that? And you see the passion and the reason why it's not just to say, oh, you know, the greatest pressure I feel sometimes is folks that they don't want to send people out. Pastor Ben, you want us to send people away? We've just been trying to reach them. Well, you're trying to reach them for what? For you or the kingdom? Is it kingdom work or is it your work? Is it about you or is it about you sending people out to do the work? Now, if a class has gotten too large, they don't always have to divide and send another group out. They can send workers out. Brother Larry's sitting back here. He comes to mind with his class. Scores of workers have come out of Larry's class. And they hang right about the same side because, you know why? Because God sends more people in there. And they equip them and they go out and serve. Now, that's just one way you can do it. But that's why we say the Sunday school or the Life Bible Study is the organizational backbone, because generally you can ask in any church, how is the Bible study? Is it strong? And if it's strong, if it's doing its job, so is every other organizational ministry. Show you a fact here that's really, really astounding. This has been done recently. After 5 years of research has proven that after 5 years, 83% of Christians, new Christians, who get involved in Sunday school, life Bible study, or some open group, some type of Bible study, 83% remain active. But look at that. Of those that do not get involved, only 16% remain active. Now, am I saying, Brother Ben saying they're not saved? No, they're saved, but they're not going to be growing. They're not going to be fruitful. They're not going to be walking in the strength and power and blessing of God. And one of the things that we often see in our ministry is just like that sad, sad story about Chase Sims on his staff. It's during those crisis times, Wendy and I deal with the roles and outreach and all, and I said to a leader, I don't know, Wendy, if you were in that meeting, but I said to another leader in my office just recently, why are you so hard-headed? They didn't use that word. That's what they meant. About dropping people off our roll. They don't come. And I said, but are you praying for them? Are you trying to minister to them? I will tell you this. There will come a day when they need you. And you know what? When we take people off our roll that don't attend, we're the ones that push them away. But God said we're to minister to them and share His love. For many, many years, and I still would do this today, haven't told a class this lately, but I tell leaders, I tell you what, I'll take every name you've got that you don't think belongs on your roll, I'll take them off your roll. If you'll do one thing for me, I want you to commit that you will pray by name for every one of those people for 3 months every day. And then I want you to come back and tell me to take their name off. Because you know what happens? When we start praying daily for people like that and get serious about it, God does two things. He moves in us. Many, many stories of people being saved and getting right with God and getting back. Understand, most of those people aren't all of them lost, but many of them are. I've asked myself for many years, why would a person come and put their name on a roll and stay on the roll and never take it off, but get all this mail and get all these phone calls and get emails, if they really are part of the family. if we are about fulfilling the Great Commission. So what do we do with all those people that aren't on our roll and aren't coming? I can give this away right now. Here's a gift card. Tell me, who said it? Who said it? What I heard her, I think, first say it. What did you say? Pray for them. Pray for them. I mean, if we just didn't do anything else but pray consistently, not once in a blue moon, not one weekend, so we'd say, okay, that's done. But if we could pray without ceasing, divide your classes up, give them names, pray for those people, ask God to intervene into their lives, and bring His power upon them. Sometimes we go about this. Look at my time. I got to go. But look, sometimes we go about this thing just like this. I've heard a pastor say this years ago, and it's so true. He said, you know what? When somebody, we're trying to change somebody. Here they are. Now you know I'm not an artist either. My son is. He can make that really look good. We're trying to change them. And so what we do with all our nagging is we become like a little hammer, just hitting, hitting, hitting. What does that do? Well, it drives them out. It drives them away. When what we ought to be doing is praying for God to move in their lives because He has a much bigger hammer. And He can change their lives.
I'm gonna
give you this. It's question 11 if you want to fill it in. I'm not going to find the slide. We're going to have to go. But one final thing I want to take away from you that is important about the mission and passion of the work that we've been talking about. One of the great little books by one of my good leaders that has been here. I have copies I give to my LBS leaders. And it says, there's three results of a Bible study class that's working. How do you know if your Bible study class is working? He says, first of all, you'll know your Bible study class is working when lost people are being saved. Bible study class is working when lives are being changed. Pretty darn good, folks. But I want to tell you, I challenge leaders all the time. Teacher, director, get on your knees, get together, look at your role at the beginning of the year, look at it at the end of the year, and if lives aren't being changed and people aren't being saved and people aren't following the Lord, get before God and say, help us figure out what's wrong with our message. How are we delivering it? What is it me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer? Because that is a Bible study that's working. Put that up. That's a pretty good test for any class. All right, I got a break because my faithful Wendy here is next in this room. She's next. And you're going to be teaching on outreach.
Yes.
What's your topic?
Next session is the role of the outreach leader in the adult class. And then in the third session, it is what I call the outreach continuum, how to reach out to your first-time visitors all the way to people who've been on the roll for years.
Maria. You're awesome. You knocked it out of the park. Thank you for helping me. As bad as I needed Maria's help, the one reason we have that ministry is, can you imagine being a guest in this church and not no 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 guest in this church and